It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This week, Carnegie Mellon University and the American Institute of Architects is hosting a three-day conference called the Remaking Cities Congress. It's bringing together some of the best and the brightest forward thinkers, including Bruce Katz of the Brookings Institution, who is speaking at the conference. Mr. Katz is the co-author of The Metropolitan, How Cities and Metros Are Fixing Our Broken Politics and Fragile Economy. We have caught up with Bruce Katz as he prepares to address the World Affairs Council of Pittsburgh. Bruce Katz, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Well, thanks for having me.
You say Pittsburgh is in an enviable position to thrive even as federal and state government support falters. How so?
I think Pittsburgh has incredible assets, obviously. It's the physical place, the topography, the three rivers, but also the way in which you've remade your place for a different kind of century. There's density here. You feel a buzz in the downtown. You obviously feel it when you're in the Oakland neighborhood and other villages around the city and into the suburbs. So what matters today is that we have livable, walkable, connected communities. Because what firms want and what workers want has changed pretty dramatically over the past 20 years.
When you talk about the density, you characterize it as an unusual city. What do you find unusual about it?
Well, I think, first of all, just a statistic, which is really important. About 25% of your jobs in this entire metropolis are within 3 miles of your downtown or your central business district. Generally speaking, that's a very good sign, because that shows that companies, firms, workers are concentrated in a relatively small geography. And so that's how ideas generate. I mean, that's how innovation gets commercialized. In Detroit, it's 7%. In Cleveland and Philadelphia, it's 15%. In Chicago, it's 20%. So you've got an incredible density within the core of your city and the core of your metropolis, with incredible advanced research institutions, major companies. I mean, that's the locus of innovation in the 21st century, and you have physically prepared yourself for it.
If you look back at where Pittsburgh was in the 70s, when a lot of people of a certain age left the city only to return and thus create the term boomerangers,
when
you think back to those days, how did we get from there to here?
Well, you had one of the worst industrial shocks in Western economies. I mean, Turin with the collapse of Fiat. There's very few other places that really are comparable to what happened here with the collapse of the steel industry. What happened, I think, is a group of corporate, civic, political leaders and a lot of citizens and institutions put shoulder to the wheel and began to diversify their economy. You do have assets. You have Carnegie Mellon. You have UPitt Medical Center. You have this incredible, beautiful physical landscape, right, that has been recaptured for amenities but also for commerce. So, you know, you basically didn't just sit around and, you know, cry in your beer. You did some big things in this city to turn it back. And I would say that's why when outsiders to the United States look into to our country, and particularly to older industrial cities, Pittsburgh really stands apart as a place that was able to diversify, probably because of the extent of the shock. It was so severe that you really had to do something. And that something was, I think, to restore your core and to make some other smart moves in the region.
So what does it take then? Does it take one or two or a group of people who have some kind of vision and then a plan to execute that vision?
Well, cities are networks, and metropolitan areas are networks of institutions and leaders. They're not like the federal government or state governments, which are basically just government. So when your networks come together and they cross party lines and they cross jurisdictional and sectoral and disciplinary lines, and they set a vision that's really based on your true assets. You're not fanciful. We're going to be the next Silicon Valley. You're really building off what you have. And then they design, finance, and deliver very concrete and tangible initiatives. That's how places move forward. That's what you did here.
We're talking with Bruce Katz of the Brookings Institution. His book is called The Metropolitan, How Cities and Metros Are Fixing Our Broken Politics and Fragile Economy. How do you see metropolitan areas taking on what was once the role of national governments?
Well, cities and metropolitan areas already have incredible powers. They deliver most of what matters to the modern economy. This is where our universities are based, our schools, K through 20, our major innovative firms. They actually finance much more of our infrastructure than is widely understood. We're not a country like Britain, which is highly dependent on the central government for everything. What we're really dependent on the central government is, which is hard to talk about now when they're closed down.
Well, and with everything that's going on, I'm imagining that what you're saying is soothing for people to hear.
Well, we are dependent on them for the safety net, and this is really important. I mean, what they primarily do is transfer large amounts of resources to people, Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, many of the income security programs. And those are absolutely needed for people who live in poverty or near poverty or the elderly. So they are primarily a social safety net. About 60% of what the federal government actually spends its money on are to help people make ends meet. And that's rising over time with the aging of our population. They also obviously protect the nation. So with defense, I think what's happening is not just a cyclical partisan food fight. This is a structural shift in who does what in our country. Cities and metros built this country, frankly, back in the 19th century and early 20th century, and they are taking on more and more powers and responsibilities, including positioning their cities for international trade, going on trade missions, attracting foreign companies, foreign investment. I think I'd bet on networks more than I would bet just on government alone to get stuff done, and I'd bet on pragmatic leadership.
And when you talk about cities around the world looking to Pittsburgh and looking for investment opportunities, what are the things that they see, say, for example, in Europe or Asia that are appealing that, that's something we want in on?
Well, I think no one can really match the United States for our advanced research institutions. No one can match us for our cultural receptivity to immigration. You don't have enough immigration here, frankly. You need more of it. And if the U.S. is able to reshape and retrofit our cities to be more livable, a higher quality, reclaim our waterfronts, which you've done a lot of here, then I think you're really matching up what the innovative firms and talented workers want. They want a place, obviously, where jobs are plentiful, and there's like this synergistic effect with different sectors and clusters in the economy. But they also want a quality place. They want a place where they have choices where to live and how to move around. I think Pittsburgh really stands out among American cities. And I just walking over here today from the Westin to the Omni Center, I mean, there's a buzz, you know. There's density in this downtown. You don't see this in many other parts of the United States.
When you mentioned that we need more immigration, not less, that is something that would certainly catch the ear of a certain segment of our listening audience. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, the United States, compared to our competitors, is demographically blessed because of immigration. I mean, Britain, Germany, China, Japan, they're hitting a wall. They don't have the population to replace their aging population as workers. We do. We're growing 30 million people a decade, not just because of immigration, but in part because of immigration. And this is immigration of all sorts. This is highly skilled individuals coming to our advanced institutions or coming to work in our advanced companies and lower and middle skilled. But this is how America renews itself. And any place that really is not on the immigration road, so to speak, I think is missing out on the opportunity to benefit from what immigrants bring. New ideas, access to other nations, trade, commerce, cultural affinity with other places. So immigration has always been what makes the United States an exceptional nation, and I think it will be so even more in the 21st century.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA, and we're talking with Bruce Katz of the Brookings Institution, who is here in Pittsburgh, taking part in the three-day conference called the Remaking Cities Congress. You see what many others see in this city, and that's physical beauty, but there are also problems with things like mass transit and crumbling infrastructure. How does a city like Pittsburgh overcome these challenges that are the result of our being here for a long time and being one of those cities at the forefront of the making of America?
Yeah, you clearly have older infrastructure, so you'd have to finance the modernization of it, the retrofit of it. A lot of this is going to really be based, frankly, on whether the city, Allegheny County, and the broader metro can grow more jobs. If you grow more jobs, you'll attract more people, you'll grow revenue, you'll have a stronger fiscal base on which to finance some of the infrastructure changes you have to make, and frankly, to bring more people in the city and in the metro into the mainstream economy. So I don't think the Pittsburgh story has been finally written yet, frankly. I think you've got an enormous physical beauty. You also have an innovation base that you haven't fully leveraged yet. And so I think the next 10 or 15 or 20 years could be quite remarkable for this city because you have a lot of what is attracting not just American companies and workers, but international companies and workers. So don't look to the past to think about what your aspiration could be. You're better positioned, actually, to excel than you have been at any other time in the last 50 years. And so I think smart moves, you know, focused concrete initiatives, and public-private networks. It's not just about government. This is really about the network coming together to do grand things together. That can help you fix your infrastructure and prepare yourself for growth.
And it sounds like you're saying that we have not yet fully realized or even come anywhere near our full potential for innovation here.
Oh, absolutely. And I think very few places have Carnegie Mellon, I mean, you know, an institution of that stature, which is really a base for not just idea generation, but innovation that basically yields more products, different services that the rest of the country and the world want. This is your Georgia Tech. This is your Stanford. This is your MIT. And it's located in a very dense physical place with other universities and the medical campus and so forth. So, you know, density and proximity of these major institutions and the companies that they spawn is a good thing. Because what companies really want now is to be in communities where you have this sort of just organic idea generation. You can't really have that out in a science park where the campuses are all closed, where the secrets are locked. We're in an open innovation economy right now, and therefore it really revalues cities like Pittsburgh. So however well you've done compared to other older industrial cities in the last 15 years, I don't think really is the right marker for how to think about your potential. I think it's much, much bigger. But you have to make some moves. You're going to have more capital in the region to commercialize innovation. You're going to have to retrofit infrastructure, as you said. You're going to have to connect some of the kids in the inner city and the older suburbs to the good jobs in these growing firms. You don't need a four-year degree for everything. So this is doable. But it requires a group of institutions and leaders in the broader citizenry to engage.
In terms of what's happened so far in this city, has Pittsburgh and cities like this one shown other metropolitan areas how to reinvent themselves? Have we created somewhat of a template here?
I think so. I mean, a lot of the reinvestment and renewal of the core, the downtown up to Oakland and some broader parts of the county and the region, I think are best practices. But frankly, they're based on interventions that go back 15 or 20 years. I think you've had a period here where you've lacked political leadership in the city, frankly. I think everyone knows it. It's not a great secret. So you've lost a little momentum here. To make the smart moves. And, you know, so you've been living off of legacy investments and legacy interventions. Now's the time to reboot.
The surveys keep telling us that Pittsburgh, you know, what a livable city this is. What, in your opinion, Bruce, makes a city livable?
Choice. The choice of where to live, how to get around. So you could walk, you could bike, you could take transit, you could obviously take your car. I'm always focused on giving people more choices. And I think the development pattern in the late 20th century was really about denying choice. I mean, we all sort of were told, move out, drive, get stuck in traffic, spend less time with your family, That's about no choices. The renewal of cities is about greater choices. And frankly, it's what a broader group of the younger generation wants. And it's what a whole bunch of innovative companies like Google, et cetera, want as well. So something has shifted in terms of market and demographic dynamics that is revaluing livability. But in the end, it's mostly about just giving people more choices.
What will be happening at some of the workshops at this conference that has brought you to Pittsburgh, the Remaking Cities Congress?
I think there's a great group of people coming. We're really looking for the best innovations around the nation and the world, placemaking, economy shaping. How do we prepare our younger kids for the next economy, which is going to require them to be much more technologically sophisticated than we were coming out of high school or college. And sustainability. Climate is a real issue. Cities are at the forefront of resolving it. Nations are not. Nations are sort of checked out for the most part. So if we're going to resolve the big, hairy jobs, poverty, and climate challenges, it's going to happen from the ground up. That's the whole point of the Metropolitan Revolution, the book. You can also download a free app on your iPad if you want. But this is a very different way of seeing the United States. I don't think the health and vitality of our country is dependent on what 537 people do in Washington, D.C. We are a much stronger, more resilient nation than that.
Bruce Katz has been our guest. He is with the Brookings Institution and is speaking at the Remaking Cities Congress taking place in Pittsburgh as we speak. He is the co-author of the book, The Metropolitan, How Cities and Metros Are Fixing Our Broken Politics and Fragile Economy. Bruce Katz, thank you so much for being with us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Well, thanks for having me.
And we'll have more Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.